Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Flooding in the southeast, flooding in the southwest and mountain regions. Record rains closing the airport in Fort Lauderdale while spring snow melt after an unusually wet winter doing much the same in the west. About Florida.
Still contending with storms across South Florida after record-setting rain falling. The storm that produced the rain in Fort Lauderdale lasted for roughly 10 straight hours. And if it were to be confirmed that 25.91 inches of rain to be an all-time Florida state rainfall record.
Mike Bettis at the Weather Channel. Also in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis has signed into law a bill that bans abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, likely ending Florida's destination role for pregnant women from neighboring southern states looking for easier abortion access. This is a federal appeals court partially overrules a Texas federal judge, keeping a widely used abortion pill available, but with some restrictions. A 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard, now due in federal court today, Jack Teixeira. He's accused of illegally posting pictures of very sensitive documents about U.S. spying on an obscure gaming corner of the Internet. Correspondent David Martin.
Teixeira was stationed at a base in Massachusetts, where live feeds from Air Force surveillance aircraft around the world are downloaded and analyzed. He worked with fiber optic cable and may have been able to monitor the network over which the classified documents flowed.
There were about 20 members of the chat group where those documents first appeared, but law enforcement officials say no other arrests are imminent.
San Francisco authorities have a suspect in that high-profile fatal stabbing case, the victim high-tech company founder Bob Lee. Here's correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti.
Lee's fatal stabbing quickly gained national attention. Tech industry leaders, including Twitter CEO Elon Musk, blamed it on a violent crime wave that has taken over the city.
Reckless and irresponsible statements, like those contained in Mr. Musk's tweet that assumed incorrect circumstances about Mr. Lee's death, served to mislead the world and their perceptions of San Francisco.
District Attorney Brooke Jenkins. North Korea continues to fire missiles, now claiming the latest one powered by solid propellants.
Seen as the most powerful weapon in its growing nuclear arsenal, North Korean state media says Thursday's test involved a new solid-fuel Hwasong-18 intercontinental ballistic missile. And that might pose a threat to the U.S., both in terms of distance and agility, because solid-fuel missiles require less time to prepare for launch.
Alex Jensen in Seoul. The Red Cross reporting the start of a huge prisoner exchange in Yemen on the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much
for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 81 today, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight, lows around 55. Overcast skies, tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, highs around 75. Chance for scattered thunderstorms, Sunday, chance for snow, on Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 50.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Are your college-age kids fired up about politics? And if so, should we make it harder for them to vote? 844-967-2789. Do you have college-age kids? Are they all in on voting here in Wisconsin? And therefore, if that's true, should we just make it harder for those youngsters to vote? 844-967-2789. Carol Kane, Jane Matineer, with you until 2 o'clock today. Kristen has got the day off.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing this up, article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about some of the incredible lines there were, and it was just last week.
Right.
At the University of Eau Claire, the line there that was all over Twitter on April 9th, about it went on and on and on and on. Same thing with Madison across the state, college students showing up to the polls in droves for an election that was barely on their radar a couple of months ago.
So what's your opinion on, you don't think they should be allowed to vote, or you think it should be harder for them to vote?
Oh, no, but I think because of the results of this election, with Janet Protasiewicz being elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, there will be factions who are going to want to look at college campuses and make it harder for them because they really influenced this result.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. To tell you the truth, I am thrilled to see that. I'm thrilled to see that they are civically minded and they want to go and cast their ballot and, you know, exercise the right to vote.
How is that a bad thing?
It can't be a bad thing. And if your candidate didn't win, that's just the way it is. That's the game, isn't it? That's called, you know, democracy and getting out there and doing. I'm probably unusual. My kids aren't college age anymore, but I've always been very adamant about the fact that you have to vote. You have to cast your ballot. Now, that being said, we don't talk an awful lot of politics in my house just because of the fact that I don't think it's really, I don't think it's any of my business. I don't know who my husband votes for.
Wow.
I don't know who my children vote for. I just think that once you get into that booth or you do your absentee ballot or whatever, mm-hmm. that is yours and yours alone.
Shouldn't have to share it with anybody.
Right. That's the way I feel. Now, I've always told my kids, you have to go and vote. Like, and I have reminded, like Liz, she got up on election day and I said, don't forget, today is election day, you got to vote. Because she's an artist and she's a little scattered sometimes.
All right.
And, but I mean, I'm sure that Alex, who now lives out in California, I'm sure he voted whenever they have their elections. I mean, this was a big one for us, obviously.
Yes.
But I just, I don't want to discourage anybody from voting. Now, if your candidate didn't win, then that's the process, right?
One would think so. 844-967-2789. Do you have college-age kids who are fired up about voting? And should we make it harder for those young whippersnappers to cast their ballots? Stephen from Green Bay, thanks so much for joining As Goes Wisconsin. Stephen, what do you want to say?
Hi, Stephen.
Hello. This is what I want to say. Younger college kids voting isn't a problem unless you're Republicans. I'm just going to come out and say it. And it's a problem because Republicans' viewpoints is extremely unpopular to most of the United States, and especially to younger folks such as myself and college-age kids. And I want to say this. When I was younger, I grew up in an era where I actually was a conservative Republican. And then I got a little older, and I got more into politics, and I started doing research. And I was like, wait a minute, a lot of this stuff that I say I stand for by labeling myself as a conservative Republican is not actually what I believe. And I very quickly, after doing some research, changed my mind on a lot of my stances. Well, the thing is a lot of college kids, because of the way things are, they're not waiting until they're 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 to do the research. They're doing it right away. And they're getting out there to vote because their rights are on the line, and they know that if they don't get out to the polls. And so I think that has a large part to do with it. But if Republicans want younger people to vote for them, they're going to have to start making sense and doing things that make sense and not just their divide and conquer method that they're trying to go for right now.
Okay.
You make really good points, Stephen. I find it interesting because the old adage is that you start out as a liberal, and as you get older and you make more money, you become more conservative. But that's not what happened with you.
No, I actually grew up. My dad was a Baptist. He was very conservative. And I hate to say it, but there was a time in my life where I actually had great disdain for gay people. I thought it was something was wrong with you if you were gay. And then I started, you know, I started doing my own research, like I said earlier in this call. And I was like, wait a minute, this makes absolutely no sense. And even from a biblical point of view, because a lot of my conservative viewpoints I based off my religious beliefs. And I thought to myself, well, if the God I believe in loves everybody, then isn't that what I should be doing it too, is loving everybody? And so it didn't really even fit in with my religious ideology anymore. And then, you know, the last 4 years, I would say especially, things have gotten so bad on the Republican side. I don't know how anyone with a good conscience can stand behind a Republican right now. And so, yeah, I'm a part of my county Democratic Party, and I guess I'm a little backwards, but that's how things went for me. So
that's all right.
Don't you think though, Stephen? Because former Governor Scott Walker, head of the Young Americans Foundation, came out after Janet Protasiewicz was elected to the state Supreme Court and basically blamed Dan Kelly's loss on the young people who had been indoctrinated by the University of Wisconsin system.
Well, I will tell you this about Scott Walker. Anytime Scott Walker says something or endorses a candidate, you're already not getting mine and my wife's vote. My wife went to UW-Stevens Point for 4 years to become an English teacher. Right as she was graduating, Scott Walker pulled this whole thing with the teachers' unions. And let's just say she didn't become a teacher. She had this pile of student debt she had to pay for, and she couldn't really even go into her profession because she couldn't find a good job. And so because of that, the taste I have for Scott Walker, I'm not going to be blunt with you on this subject because I would probably break many FCC rules.
Let's not do that, Stephen.
But I do not care for him. And I think he was horrible for the state of Wisconsin.
Really appreciate your call, Stephen. Thank you so very much for checking in. 844-967-2789. Are you a college kid? Do you have college kids who are all fired up about politics now? And if so, then shouldn't we just make it harder for those youngsters to vote? Because that's what's going to be coming down the pike.
You know, and I understand the feeling of some that some of these universities and there may be opinions that are expressed in some of the classes that maybe would be considered indoctrination. I understand that. But once again, I don't want to discourage anybody from voting. I don't want this discussed in the classroom. You know, if my kids in a geology class, I want them to be taught geology, nothing more, nothing less. If you're in a chemistry class, teach chemistry, nothing more, nothing less. Whatever your political leanings are, you should stay to yourself as a professor. That's my opinion, because I'm not spending all this money to send them to hear what you feel politically.
But that's much easier in a geology class or a science class. It's a different thing when you start getting into philosophy and some of those, right? Some of those disciplines.
Yeah, I just, I understand when Scott Walker said something like that, because that was the natural, that you knew that was going to happen because you've got, and I went to Madison. You know, it's considered a very liberal, liberal college, and I want to stick to the subject matter. I understand what you're saying too about philosophy or psychology and things like that, but I just think stick to the subject matter and don't give anybody fodder to talk about why their candidate didn't win. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I think to Stephen's point, Scott Walker's admission that young voters are the ones who put Janet Protasiewicz on the state Supreme Court.
No, that's silly.
And not acknowledging that the party has problems with its own messages.
Well, that's...
The Republican Party's policies do not resonate with young voters.
No.
And that's why they lost.
Right.
And that's why they're losing.
Well,
and rather than address that and take a look at, gee, maybe this isn't popular. Maybe people don't want permitless concealed carry all over the place. But instead of going back and looking at how they should change their policies, it's not like, no, it's not us. We're fine. It's all of them.
Yeah, no, you have to. It's very hard to look at the person in the mirror and point the finger at yourself. Yeah, I understand that. You know, I don't like to do it either. But if it's a very, very fractured situation for the GOP, and they're going to continue to lose until they get their stuff together. And they have to work. They're going to have to work real hard to get an awful lot of votes back, because they are driving people away in droves just because they can't. They can't seem to make up their minds. And everybody's got a different opinion, and there's no cohesive unit.
844-967-2789. Check in with us via text, on the phone. Jane and Carol, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Mainly sunny skies today with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lowest level off around 54. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 78. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. Chance for mixed precipitation on Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
To As Goes Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. Anytime you want to check in via phone and or text, we love to hear from you. Jane Metnair and Carol Kane in with you until 2 o'clock. Coming up around 12:33, Kay Amlin from the Washington County Humane Society is going to be joining us to talk about the 34 animals, dogs, that were rescued and how they're faring and how they're feeling and when they can get into their forever home. So that's coming up in just about 6 or 7 minutes or so.
You know, and that's, we've talked a lot about trying to figure out what goes on in people's head during this show today. But why these hoarders of animals? I don't know why, what's going on upstairs that makes you want to do this? Or, you know, because these animals were abused. They were chained up. They weren't fed. They were actually abused. So what's the point? Why do you keep adding to the fray?
Kay's going to be able to talk a little bit, I think, about that kind of mentality. And I believe most people start out with good intentions. I'm going to save a bunch of animals. I've got the property. I'm going to save a bunch of animals. And then it gets out of their control.
Okay. All right. Well.
And I don't know that that's the case for every instance of animal hoarding, but Kay will be able to clarify that for us. But I really do think that that's part of it. I think people start out meaning well, and before too long, it's like, this is a whole lot more than I expected.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe she'll be able to shed some light on that subject.
Clarify that a little bit.
Yeah.
Right now, though, the Joint Finance Committee, so exciting. The Joint Finance Committee has been moving around Wisconsin and holding public hearings, which is a good thing.
Right.
Because they actually have to listen to their constituents. Whether or not they do anything with the information that the public tells them remains to be seen.
Well, I think the turnout is impressive. They were showing up at the wilderness in droves, in buses, some of these groups that wanted to speak before the committee. So by sheer number and sheer volume alone should snap them to, hey, this is something people are passionate about. Maybe we should really pay attention.
WPR reporting that as in previous listening sessions, this latest one in Wisconsin Dells, school funding, a central concern of many participants. So is support for healthcare programs, including mental health care and programs for caregivers. And yet, these are never discussed as Republican policies. They want a flat tax. They want to cut income taxes for rich people. As far as what I've seen, those are their biggest concerns.
Oh, I can't say across the board that's it, that there's not one out there that cares about education or caregivers or things like that. As long as they take the time to really listen and digest, let's hope. We can only hope that they go back and go, okay, we really got to work on this. I think the education thing that's a constant all the time.
Yes.
Healthcare is a constant all the time. Now, we've seen multiple issues with mental health illness and how we have to address that, because it doesn't, it's a very serious, serious topic that people are, and more people are coming. Well, look at what happened with Giannis. He just came out. That made me snap too. I was watching something, and all of a sudden there's Giannis talking about almost getting out of the NBA because of the fact that he had such pressure, such stress, and such mental health issues. And he's a young guy.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of people that are suffering out there, and they do need help. I've been a caregiver before, and it's
toughest not, thing you can do.
It's not an easy job, especially when you have somebody who doesn't, I don't want to say doesn't appreciate, but doesn't understand what you're trying to do, that
sure.
You are looking out for their best interest. So any outside influence, any outside help should be welcome, because we need the resources, no doubt about it.
Well, and as you said, I'm delighted to see the number of people who are turning out for these joint finance committee hearings, but whether or not our lawmakers take it to heart remains another issue. Don't forget when they held an open hearing on gerrymandering, out of all of the people who testified, not one person was in support of gerrymandering. Not one.
Yeah.
And yet, what did they do?
Yeah.
They kept the gerrymander.
Yeah.
And until the maps are redrawn and some of these lawmakers actually have to run in a fair election where it's not guaranteed that they're going to win no matter what, they will sit and listen and do absolutely nothing.
Well, now there's another one coming up on the 26th at Lakeland Union High School in Minocqua, April 26th. So, if you really do feel passionate, And the weather's beautiful. Head up to Minocqua.
make it
an event. And it's only about 4 or 5 hours to get up to Minocqua. If you're passionate about something and you think they should hear it, make the trip. And I think a lot of people are passionate about an awful lot of stuff. So I'm hoping that's as full as this one was at the Dells.
That they can top that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Again, whether or not this is going to make any difference whatsoever remains to be seen, but
they need to hear it.
They need to hear it, and they need to realize that if and when these rigged maps go away, they're actually going to have to respond to the wants of their constituents instead of their lobbyists and instead of their donors. Then maybe we'll actually see some action.
Well, cross your fingers. That's about all we can do. We can make our presence known, make our opinions known, and whether or not they do anything with it, then it's up to us when election time comes around. You didn't listen. See you later. I'm picking the other guy.
You heard it from Carol Kane. All right, when we come back, we're talking puppies. We're talking the Washington County Humane Society. You can get a forever baby. That's coming up next on Asgo's Wisconsin.
So here's a story from A to Z. You want to get with me, you got to listen carefully. We got M in the place, who likes it in your face. You got G like a...
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 81 today under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight, lows around 55. Overcast skies, tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, highs around 75. Chance for scattered thunderstorms, Sunday, chance for snow, on Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 50.
And I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council. I'm going to buy
me a dog. A dog? Why?
Babe, you need all the friends you can get, I'm telling you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinera and Carol Kane with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I am really excited to talk to our next guest. 34 dogs were seized from a Washington County property at the end of January. Many of them without water. They were eating garbage. They were tied up to trees. But now some of them are ready for their forever home. So joining us is the executive director of the Washington County Humane Society, Kay Amland, and operations manager, Jesse Wermiger. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, we're happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Hi. I'm always in the market for a dog. So I'm so excited to hear this about these guys. Tell them
it's the right dog.
Well, that's the thing. I'm pretty easygoing when it comes to dogs. So, yeah, I have two at home right now. But tell me the story, because I need to hear it from you as to how this all came about.
Sure, definitely. So we are the Washington County Humane Society, and part of what we do, part of our work is to assist law enforcement anytime there is either an impound or a hoarding case or bite quarantine. And then, of course, like many humane societies, we also just work and do our absolute best to help match animals that need home with people that need a loving companion in their life. So what happened on the end of January, actually was the 31st, is we did receive a call from law enforcement about a property that where we had received numerous complaints probably over the last decade. And they did finally get a search warrant and asked the Washington County Humane Society to come to the location, which is in the town of Wayne, and assist with a seizure. And then Jessie was on site, so I'll have her share a little bit about what it was like.
Yeah, so it's, again, like Kay said, we've been getting things for many, many years. So it was good to finally be able to actually have to go on scene and assist officers and kind of explain what we were seeing from an animal welfare standpoint and what they're seeing from a law enforcement standpoint and kind of collaborate together and say, okay, we can finally do this and here's why. And so like you described, they were chained up to various things. That day it was roughly negative 15 with the wind chill. Myself and the other staff members I had out, there were various times, and with law enforcement, we had to take breaks to warm up. So the areas that the dogs were being housed in was different barrels or garbage cans that were outfitted to have like a little hole so the dogs could get in and out to have a break from the elements, but not much of a break as a lot of those were actually frozen to the ground. They're hard plastic. There was some straw in them, but not enough. And other ones we couldn't tell. Everybody was reactive at the end of their chains trying to get at us. So it wasn't conducive to do any sort of exams out there, but you couldn't see any access to water and there wasn't any food around available at the dog's chain area or within that like radius. There was numerous, I'm talking dozens upon dozens of pizza boxes stacked up and pails of frozen pizza. And there was a very, very tiny amount of dry dog food, but nothing that was providing a good nutritional value. And then the law enforcement had actually informed us that they had witnessed him taking a carcass from a deer that was moldy and sawing off parts of that and feeding it to some of the animals. So we saw one of them having that, which also is not appropriate nutrition for them. So after working with them, we just determined that, yeah, it was something was not correct in how he was handling the dogs, how he was housing them, providing improper food, water. We needed to remove them to see if there was any medical concerns. We're able to remove all of them and have them kind of switch from being super, super reactive to not minding us doing intakes and doing exams on them and things. That is definitely a huge concern when we were out there. We're not expecting them to be as handleable as they were based off of what we were seeing on scene.
I have so many questions. So the standard, what is the standard to be able to remove animals from a situation like this? If you've been getting calls about this same property for so long, mm-hmm. what took so long?
Well, I can give you an example. A year ago, law enforcement was on the property, but because there was a roadkill, deer carcasses and whatnot, that was considered food. And the law states food, water, shelter. And so at that time, we could do nothing. Law enforcement could do nothing. The reason that it changed was that there was no way for fresh water to, you know, it was so cold that the water froze. And then the deer carcass being moldy was all of a sudden then no longer considered a food source. And then the shelter, some of the dogs were actually the way their chains were not able to get into the like their little plastic enclosures. But the law is clear, but it's also
open to interpretation.
Yes. That's a great way of saying it.
So tell me a little bit about, because Jane stands by, and I'm not going to disagree with her, that a lot of these people that turn into these hoarding situations are people that have good intentions, but it just gets out of hand. Do you think this is kind of what happened here?
We're not 100% clear this was a hoarding situation, and this is anecdotal information from what people have told us that live in the community and have seen him for many, many years with these conditions, is that apparently there was a breeding that was taking place, and there was some training going on for hunting and things. It sounds to me more like it was a situation where it was like trying to make money for him, and it just unfortunately, there are some really great breeders. This is not representative of breeders.
Right.
They didn't do well at all.
Okay. All right. So now tell me about who's available, because you have some that are up for adoption, but some are still kind of being taken care of, right? Is that the situation?
Correct.
So how many are available?
So today is actually a big day for a lot of them because we do spays and neuters today. And so our vet is working through with two assistants on getting as many done as possible today. On Monday, we had some up for adoption. And then yesterday, it was absolutely crazy. We had so many people waiting in our vestibule. And it's really about a matter of, is the Jack Russell right for you? And talking to all those people about whether a Jack Russell was right or maybe one of the other dogs we had. I think after yesterday and Monday, we probably only have 5 or 6 that are left without signers. And that's mostly because we can't fix all of them in a day, in addition to all the other dogs we had and the other cats. So I love our vet. He's fantastic. But you would have to be a superhuman to get as many of these done as we have.
Our guests are the executive director of the Washington County Humane Society, Kay Amland, and operations manager, Jesse Wermiger, and talking about the seizure of 34 animals from a property in Washington County at the end of January. Jesse, you talked about being on that property and how reactive so many of these dogs were at these end of these chains. Where do you even start when you're trying to rehabilitate an animal who is just afraid? You know, where do you even start trying to prove to them that I'm not a schmuck? You can trust me. I'm okay.
We got really lucky, honestly. Some of the other things I've been out on in my career, you would have that reactivity level continue once you get to the shelter. And, you know, you have to work and work and work and work to build that trust. I thank the Lord that every day, as soon as they came in, it was almost like a switch. And whether or not that's because they understood they were being removed and it was warm and we were caring and we were going slow and we were allowing them to kind of watch their body language and we weren't moving too fast and we were making sure that they didn't feel uncomfortable. If they did, we just allowed them the time to decompress in a cage and then we'd revisit it again, not pushing them, but not being socialized with humans. Being with one human for a very vast majority of the time is always difficult. So it's been a process.
One of the things, Jane, is that what we have noticed is now when they're being introduced to people that are interested in adopting them, many of them have reverted to some of the same behaviors that we saw when they first arrived. And that's just sort of a caution to anybody coming. It's going to take, you know, 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, maybe 2 months. And people will really need to have even more patience with this type of a dog than any other shelter dog.
Well, they were traumatized. It's mm-hmm. right. It's any being that's been mistreated like that is going to have trust issues. And so, but that's a really mm-hmm. good point, Kay, that anyone who's considering adopting an animal from a seizure of this type, you're going to need some extra patience.
Yeah.
Correct.
So what are the age? Have you been able to determine like the ages of these animals? I'm sure it's varied, right?
Yeah, it's varied. So on scene, the only, I guess, puppies, because everybody considers a puppy to be these tiny little beings, would be 2. There was on scene at the time, they were about 3 weeks old and 5 weeks old. There was 2 different ages. And other than that, there was, I think, like a 5-month-old, a 10-month-old. And then a majority of the other ones were ranging from 1 year to 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think we have 2 that are 6. So vast majority of them were within that 1 to 4 year old range. And then other than Jack Russell's, we had 1 lone heeler. We named her Bean. Yeah, she was like the most submissive, greatest dog ever. And when I went out there, she rolled over and was like, I'm so excited to have somebody pet me. Aww. And she's older. Yeah.
And she's chubby and she's like the anomaly because all the other ones are happening? Super thin. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you.
Yeah. Like that's where we're like, what's happening? Who are you compared to everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Now, do people have to make an appointment with you to come and take a look at, and maybe not just the Jack Russells, but some of the other animals that you have?
No, our viewing hours are on our website and you don't need an appointment. You do not even need an application to see the animals. It's an application is required if the person is interested in adopting.
And you know what I think is really great too, Kay and Jesse? And over the years, I think you've done a really, Humane Society has done a really good job within that application form of explaining exactly what the financial responsibilities tend to be when you're a pet owner, because it's not going to stop at 10 bucks a month once you get a dog or a cat. That's just not the way that it works. And I think people can be a little overwhelmed and walk into it thinking, yeah, I can do this and it's going to be fine. But it's going to cost you money.
Yeah. I mean, these dogs, especially, we don't know what the financial repercussions are going to be, is if there's any medical concerns that we don't know of right now. We did our best, but we're not miracle workers. We didn't run x-rays on every single dog. We didn't run blood work on every single dog. Jack Russells have many medical concerns normally in a normal breed that is breeded appropriately.
Yeah.
There's a very good likelihood that a lot of these are genetically related and were being bred. So your odds of having those medical concerns are a lot higher. So it's just whether or not people are prepared for that. And we try to prepare them as much as possible and let them know about the case and how the conditions were and about the concerns for the genetically related animals breeding, but no guarantees. And there can be things that could be a lot more costly than normal.
You know what? I'm just going to stick my two cents in here because and Jane knows all about my Beauregard. Beauregard came from a shelter in Alabama, and I had never adopted an adult dog, but he has been the light of my life. And I'm so serious in the fact that don't shy away from owning an adult, going and adopting adult dog, because so many of them need such a good home and they will be your constant companion. So I want to just stick that out. If you've got adult dogs that you need to adopt out and you're interested in it, go and take a look at the Washington Humane Society, Washington County Humane Society.
Thank you, Carol. We appreciate that. And especially, the Jack Russells in particular, but all animals, especially animals that come from shelters, you know, from other parts of the country,
Yeah. They
want a human to bond with. I mean, that's just their nature. And I think that our nature as humans love animals.
Ladies, I know you have things coming up at the Washington County Humane Society. We got a short break coming up, if you can stick with us through the break. Yeah. And then we will find out all the doings and how you can help support the wonderful Washington County Humane Society. Executive Director Kay Amland and Operations Manager Jesse Wermiger are our guests. Jane and Carol with you. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You couldn't teach dogs to do that. You can only train elephants.
Because I need a friend now.
I need a friend now.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy me a dog.
A dog here over Fido Spot.
My girl, I'm going to let him know how.
One.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Maxine Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 78 today, under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows around 54. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms, 78. Chance for scattered storms, Sunday. Mixed precipitation possible at times on Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier, Carol Kane with you until 2 o'clock. And our guests from the Washington County Humane Society, Executive Director Kay Emland and Operations Manager Jesse Wormiger are here to talk about their recent seizure at the end of January of 34 animals from a property in Washington County. But most of those, Jesse, you said are just about ready to go, right? Most of those dogs.
Yep, completing spay neuters today. And then we have a full booked adoption board for tomorrow. I actually have two lead care staff helping out so that we actually triple booked adoptions at one of those time slots to help get them a little quicker. Yeah, it's going to be a busy, busy house tomorrow and Saturday and Monday.
That's such great news, though. Honestly, I hope they all find a great, great home. They deserve it. No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I think, too, you know, it's always stories like these that garner so much attention. But, you know, there's a crisis. There's a this thing happened. And but there's always animals that are looking for homes. So you don't need to wait until you see something in the newspaper about a tragic situation like this. There's always good puppies looking for some place to live.
Puppies and cats.
Puppies and cats.
On Saturday, we had a flight in from Louisiana, and we took, with four other shelters, and we took 30 of the dogs and cats on the flight.
Wow.
There's so many. Spay and neuter your pets.
Which is, and I hate to be accusatory, but there are places in our country who are not good at that. And that's why we end up with plane loads of puppies and kittens, because they don't believe in spay and neuter. And it's...
Correct.
We learned a lot.
A lot of it's about the access too. They don't have the accessibility we do up here, and they don't have the education about it or the funds to do some of it. So a lot of those places we're working with are trying to make that a bigger push in their areas.
You know, I never thought about that, Jesse, that maybe they don't have enough veterinarians available to hold spay and neuter clinics and the costs associated with that. What does it cost on average to spay or neuter a dog?
It's not cheap.
No, Carol, you're right. It's not.
It ain't cheap. No.
It's private practice clinics can be significantly more if you have low cost spay neuter clinics in your area, or what some people call high volume clinics. You can get significant discounts for people that absolutely need to have their animals fixed but can't pay that private practice cost. A normal vet clinic could charge, actually know somebody that got their dog neutered yesterday and it was $720.
Wow.
That's, I mean, you can't pay that a lot of times. So the low-cost clinics can be super, super affordable for people and have great access and care, and can be $50 to $150 depending on species, age, all different things.
Well, how can people help you raise money so that you continue to hold these spay and neuter clinics?
Sure. We're a nonprofit agency. We get a lot of help from our volunteer force and from donations, of course. And that information is available on our website if anyone wants to make a donation. But we do have a very, very big fundraiser coming up, which appeals to almost everyone.
the rummage sale. And it's spring, and I don't know what Wisconsin weather is doing this week, but it's trying to make you spring clean ahead of time. So if you have stuff, please keep your stuff. May 16th, it's a Tuesday, we start collection at the Washington County Fairgrounds because this event is so large, we can no longer house it on our property here. Yeah. So Washington County Fairgrounds, we collect from May 16th all the way till the end of the week.
Yep.
Right before
end of the month.
Yeah, the end of the month. Mm-hmm. June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, that first weekend of June is when we actually have the rummage sale. It takes up the entire expo grounds. It is the every nook and cranny has got something for everybody. All kinds of little treasures. Parking is free. There is a small entry fee of $3. But it's non-packed action or non-stop action, I should say. You find something every day if you kept coming back.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You're always open to having somebody just give you some cash too, right? I mean, honestly, if they can't make the May 16th thing, then just fire some cash off to the Washington County Humane Society because that'll go a long way too.
We also have, absolutely, and we also have sponsorship opportunities for the rummage sale and our other events, which works really great for businesses and sometimes family foundations who want to get their name out there and show their partnership. And so that works equally well.
I know people are very good-hearted, but just keep in mind, if you're planning on making some donations to the rummage sale, they don't want your junk.
No.
You're going to have to get rid of your own junk. You know,
Jane, you said it, not us.
But I know, you know, people are like, oh, God, they're having a thing. And now I can finally clean out my basement and give them this broken thing that I don't know where to throw away. Well, they don't. Washington County Humane Society doesn't want to have to throw it away either. So
no.
if it's in that kind of shape, keep it for yourself. Keep it as your own little treasure.
Right.
And give them things that are actually going to be saleable to help them.
Yeah, the doggy toy that's lost a head, we don't want that.
Yeah.
And you have all kinds of volunteer opportunities available as well, correct?
We do. We have people that help us just for our events. We have people that bake for our bake sales. Then we also have people, 100 or 150 people that come into the shelter almost every week. And those are people that socialize cats, people that help us clean some of the kennels, do dishes. You can only imagine how many dishes and laundry. It's endless. I mean, just like most homes, but imagine that times like our 150 kids that live here. And then we have volunteer adoption counselors and just people that help us on so many different ways, directly with the animals, dog walking, etc.
And you do have doggy classes. I just looked at your website, and you do have doggy classes, and the slots are starting to open up. And I really want to encourage people to do that, too, because you want to socialize your dog in the proper way. And the way to having a happy dog is having a dog that is well-trained and acclimated into the house, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have quite a variety of different dog classes. We have puppy class for just getting to know your dog and socialization and them being able to interact with other puppies, which is what they need at that crucial time period. We have basic dog training, which is great for those adult dogs you've adopted from us. And they're all different days and times. So there really should be a class for everyone and able to kind of create that bond and start the training that is detrimental to them, also adjusting in your home and helping them feel comfortable.
Kay Emlund is the executive director and Jesse Werminger is the operations manager for the Washington County Humane Society. Where can they find you on the web?
WCHSpets.org.
Check it out. Get home a fur baby and take one home and make your life better. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good work.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. Jane and Carol, we will be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
One in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.